Buffalo, 1690 AM in Montreal.
You're listening to CJLO News. Despite the changeover at City Hall, some projects are continuing over from the Projet Montréal era, one being electrifying Montreal's bus fleet. Ensemble Montréal is still committed to working with the STM to continue the previously made promise of electrifying Montreal's bus fleet by 100% by the year 2040. Recent research out of Concordia has shown that electric buses in Montreal use more energy in the winter, but cost less to operate than diesel buses. Zulen Tien authored the report. Tien is a PhD candidate in environmental engineering at the Department of Building, Civil, and Environmental Engineering at Concordia. She looked into the efficacy of electric buses in Montreal, because most studies done on electric buses have been conducted in temperate climates and don't account for this city's harsh winters.
What we do is that we work with the STM, and also the STM in Montreal provides an ideal real-world test to analyze how the different factors in winter affect the energy efficiency and also the regenerative braking of electric buses.
Tien and her team analyzed over 50,000 operational records from 40 different electric buses across the different seasons. They found that energy consumption from electric buses is about 26% higher in winter. But they also found that electric buses run at 40 to 60% lower operating cost than diesel.
So when we talk about operating costs, that just focus on the fuels, like fuel consumption and electricity consumptions. And also the diesel price is obviously higher than the electricity price in Canada, especially in Quebec, because we have lower hydro and also lower electricity price. So that's why make the whole operating cost much more lower than we thought.
Jen says the STM is considering her report. She is now part of a team analyzing thermal regulation systems in electric buses, trying to find ways of increasing the efficiency of vehicles in the winter. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Jade, and this is Love Actually Needs Work, where we pick apart the messy, romantic, and sometimes delusional corners of modern love. And today we're going to be walking into a room that I know y'all have been in before, because I've been in it too. A room filled with unfinished stories, some half-written beginnings, almost could-have-beens, and the exact people we think about every December, no matter how much we tell ourselves we've moved on. Okay, so I call this room the Archives of Almost Loves. And today, for the next hour, I'm going to invite you guys to walk through that archive with me, drawer by drawer, memory by memory, as we explore the people who touched our lives in small but lasting ways, even if it never turned into something real. So I think for me, what prompted this topic today was that, you know, we're almost in December. We've got like about a week left to go. And I always find that at the end of the year, I start getting very nostalgic about all the almosts in my life, whether that be like an almost love, whether that is an almost opportunity, almost friendship, all these different things. So I thought that that would be our topic today, because it's something that's been on my mind currently. So I want you guys to imagine, let's set the scene here, okay? A dusty hallway, dim lights, old wooden drawers with little brass labels, and every drawer holds a story that never quite finished itself. That's kind of what an almost love looks like to me a little bit. So it's not dramatic. It's not even really tragic. It's kind of quiet and it's subtle and it sticks to the edges of you, right? And I know this because I've kept my own archive for years, honestly, without even realizing that I was doing it. So I want to start by opening, quote unquote, the first drawer for you guys. I've labeled this one the one I only knew for 10 days. Yeah, 10 days. And I think about him every December, not because he was my soulmate, not because he was perfect, but because the timing was perfect and literally everything else was, right? And I feel like we don't talk about that enough. I always hear people saying how, you know, like they meet someone and like the person's amazing, but the timing just isn't great. And that's why it's not working. But what happens when like the timing's perfect, but the person is just like, not what you're needing at that specific point in time, right? So we met at a holiday cafe that I was actually at with my friend. Imagine this, there's snow, there's music, there's lights, all of it, right? And for those 10 days, we almost existed in this like weird soft bubble where everything felt very cinematic without either of us actually trying. And then he left, literally on a plane, he left. We said we'd keep in touch, we didn't. But sometimes almost love ends the moment that the season does too, right? So I don't know his birthday, I don't know his middle name, but I still find myself thinking about him every winter, not because I want anything to do with this man, but simply because he reminds me of this version of myself that I only was for these like 10 days, right? And that's kind of what we're exploring today. Like, not the people that we deeply love, but the ones who left these kind of soft fingerprints anyways. So I want to start off by talking about like, why does December bring back these like emotional flashbacks, quote unquote? I feel like there's something about the month, right? The lights, the cold, the forced reflection, the pressure to have something to show for the year. It almost makes us reach backwards emotionally, I find. And psychologically, it makes sense too, right? Like the cold weather heightens longing. Shorter days intensify introspection. The holidays amplify this kind of overarching nostalgia that we have. And then everyone around you is suddenly like very together, or they're at least looking very together. And even if you're confident in your life, there's this kind of subtle whisper that exists, like, shouldn't you be sharing this with someone? And that whisper has kind of made me revisit almost loves that I haven't even spoken to like in years, right? There was one December, I'll be honest, I messaged someone I hadn't thought about since like years. And the minute my finger hit send, I realized that I wasn't actually missing him. I was missing the version of myself that he once made me feel like. And I think that's something that more of us need to kind of recognize as we're like about to send that text to our ex or to someone that we used to date, is that, and it's something that I had to realize too, because for the longest time I thought, oh, I'm never going to be able to move on without them. Like, they're so perfect, blah, blah, blah. And that's just not true, because nobody's perfect, right? But I think what I taught myself, and what hopefully, if you don't already like believe this, you can kind of learn to believe it, is that a lot of the time we don't actually miss the person that we're with. We just miss the things that we did with them, right? We miss the way that they made us feel. We miss like holding hands. We miss all the romantic aspects of it, but we're not actually missing this person. And so I think that's something that we need to acknowledge more. Like, these almost loves, they almost act like mirrors, and they reflect the parts of us that we haven't fully like grown out of. So with that being said, I want to introduce you guys to a song that we're going to play before we roll into ads. It's a fantastic song. It's by this American artist named Amber Mark. I think it came out back in 2021, so a couple of years ago now. It's called What It Is, and I don't think I'm going to say too much more than that, just because it's so amazing. I feel like it's going to speak for itself. But yeah, so without further ado, we're going to jump into What It Is by Amber Mark.
Give him all I tried, but nothing stopped this ride. So hard to leave it all behind. And I know, good with bad, we fall. What is the point of it all? So there goes my heart.
dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
The Go-Go Radio Magic Show. Every Friday night from 6 to 8 on 3JLO. Tune in. Turn on. Freak out.
Hey, this is Tim from Softswells, and you are listening to CJLO.
All right, guys, we're back, and we're going to pull open another drawer now. This one I like to call the what if, and I know that all of y'all know what that means, okay? You know the one, the person who makes you say, if I had just said that, if I had just met them in a different time, if we had both been ready, blah, blah, blah. Right? Psychologists call this the sliding door effect. So it's this idea that there are alternate versions of your life that branch off whenever two paths almost connect. Okay? So for me, that what if person is someone that I actually knew for years, like as a child, someone who hovered kind of at the edges of my life, like background music. He was always like almost something, almost brave enough, almost available, almost willing to articulate what we were. And I was almost patient enough, almost honest enough, almost ready, right? We lived entire imaginary futures in silence. And that's exactly what almost love is. Almost love is this sort of intoxicating, you know, feeling because it exists only within possibility. That's the only place it exists. It's not reality, right? And the possibility is so limitless until reality shows up and just smacks you in the face. And I want to touch on something that's been quietly like sitting underneath everything we've talked about today, which is this idea of withholding love. I heard someone talk about this recently on social media, and I thought it was a really interesting topic because in terms of like familial love, right? We're kind of taught to just give that away, right? When you're born, you love your mother or you love your daughter and XYZ, and you're kind of conditioned as you grow up to maintain that love. And you're told that it's okay to like voice that love. There's nothing embarrassing about that. However, when we shift into this sort of romantic love, everyone just starts putting up X's and is like, no, you can't say it too soon. You can't say it too much. You can't say it here. You can't say it there. There's so many restrictions put on love, right? And it's not even about rejecting love or losing love, but it's we're actively holding it back, even when we want to give it. And I think that's so wild. Like we spend, you know, an entire season, we'll talk about December because we're almost approaching it, you know, which is kind of this month of emotional inflation, trying to find connection, yet we're actually often very terrified of offering up our connection. And I think the overarching question is kind of why, right? We like to pretend we're complicated, but honestly, I think most of us withhold love for a few very simple reasons. The first one, self-protection, obviously, right? The if I don't give too much, I can't lose too much logic. There's a part of us that believes love works almost like budgeting, right? Bear with me for a second, okay? Don't overspend or you'll end up emotionally bankrupt. So we ration affection, we ration our vulnerability, we ration our presence, and we give just enough to keep someone interested, but not enough that they could actually like break our heart. It's not coldness, right? It's fear. Almost dressed as the sort of strategy that we have. And during the holidays, when everything is heightened and everyone is pretending to be emotionally available, for lack of better words, that fear gets a lot louder, right? And then control too, keeping this kind of upper hand by keeping our heart half closed. I am so, so, so guilty of this one. Obviously, it's not a great habit. I'm trying to get out of it, but I'm guilty of it. And I think a lot of us are too, right? And there's this kind of unspoken rule in modern dating now that whoever cares less holds the power. I think that's so untrue, but whether I think it's untrue or not, it is the reality of modern dating right now. And it's like, so what do? We give half love. We give slow love. We give timed love. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that is exactly what your relationship needs. Sometimes your relationship needs to slow burn. You need to pace yourselves, and that works for you. But there's also a lot of instances where that doesn't work, right? Maybe you've known someone as a friend for a really, really long time, and you've decided that you like them as more than a friend. But you don't say anything because you don't want to ruin the friendship. But then you're just carrying this horrible, horrible burden inside of yourself for years. And you're existing with this like almost love. You're existing with this what if, right? Versus if we just offered our love, you know, in a romantic situation as easily as we do to, you know, a stranger in need on the street or our family members, I think life might be a lot less complicated. We treat affection almost like a resource that has to be earned instead of something that we just naturally generate. Like, I don't know about you guys, but there has been, you know, a couple of guys that I've dated in the past. And like within a relatively short amount of time, I've decided I really like this person. Even one of them, I fully decided that I loved, but I said nothing. I said nothing, and I've said nothing to this day. And I keep that, you know, held within myself when I could have just said that. Like, why are we holding back our love? It's not a bargaining chip. If you feel like, I'm very much of the belief of if you feel something, say something. Obviously, there's external factors to consider. But I think generally speaking, if you feel it, say it. Life is real short. And I don't think anyone should be leaving this world with regrets. And that's exactly what our generation is accumulating right now. Just a lot of regrets because no one knows how to communicate with each other. Right. But all that being said, when you withhold your love, it becomes a way of like staying in control when everything else feels very unpredictable. Right. It's a classic coping strategy. And as much as it's not healthy, it's also not something that we can like fault ourselves for. Right. Because it is very natural as well. And I think the third reason that people withhold their love is past hurt. Your body remembers heartbreak, even when you pretend you've forgotten it. Right. So when someone new comes along, your nervous system goes, nope, we've seen this film before and the ending absolutely sucked. So you withhold, not because you don't like the person, but because your heart is still negotiating the terms of safety, right? You're not super sure about it yet. And I think arguably this is one of the most like healthy reasons to withhold your love. But also like the fear of being too much or too eager. I've heard a lot of people say this. I've had friends come up to me in the past and be like, oh, I really like this guy or I really like this girl. And, you know, I want to tell her, but like, I just don't want to come across like I'm being too much. I don't want to seem like, you know, I'm being desperate or like whatever. First off, how does expressing your love make you look desperate? That's just a question in its own right. If the person that you're with makes you feel like expressing your love is desperation, then you seriously need to evaluate the relationship that you're in. But putting that aside, I think that we worry that like showing excitement will make us look desperate. I think maybe that's where it comes from. Or we worry that like caring early is going to somehow be embarrassing. But I think ultimately we worry that wanting someone makes us vulnerable, right? And here's the twist though. Every relationship that becomes something real started just because someone was brave enough to risk being too much. And I don't know about you guys, but I know for myself personally, I multiple points in my life, I have constantly been told, you're too much, you're too sensitive, you're too excitable, you're too this, you're too that. Then go find someone else. Period. If you think I am too much, if anyone thinks you are too much, then go find someone else. Because there's like billions of people on this earth. There's going to be one that not only does not think you are too much, but loves everything about your excitedness, loves everything about how you care, loves everything about how emotional or vulnerable you are with yourself. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind too. But another thing that has kind of popped up, I think, with our modern generation is dating apps, right? Dating apps trick us into believing that there's always another person one swipe away. And if you think about it, really, it's not much of a trick because it's actually kind of true. But I think we hold back emotionally because why invest fully when you could keep door number two open, right? And holiday dating absolutely amplifies this. People end up treating connection like a seasonal subscription, renewable, replaceable. But withholding this love doesn't actually protect us. It just prevents us from experiencing the fullness of what we actually crave, right? And listen, if I'm being completely honest, I've done this too. There were times I liked someone, really liked someone, and instead of leaning in, I folded inward. I convinced myself that staying guarded made me wise. But the truth is that I was scared. I was scared that they wouldn't feel the same. I was scared that they would, and then eventually they wouldn't. And I think a lot of us, how do I say this? I think a lot of us learn to love defensively, if that makes sense. Like, we have to earn security first before we can express affection. But love actually doesn't work like that. Love is a risk every single time. And there was a quote that I'm definitely not going to be saying word for word, but I heard it many years ago. And it was basically the sentiment was like, to love is to accept that your heart will break at some point in time, right? Even if you don't break up before your time is done on this earth, someone, you know, will pass away, someone will move on, and your heart is going to break. Your heart is going to hurt. And that's the consequence of love, right? If you make the choice to openly love someone or something, your heart will break. It's inevitable. When it will break, who knows, but it will break. And a lot of us don't want to talk about that because that's a big and scary thing that people don't want to acknowledge, but it's true. And in order to fully love someone, I think you need to fully embrace that your heart is going to break, and that's okay. You have to be okay with that, because if you're not, you're never going to be able to fully live and embrace the love that you're actively trying to commit to, right? And I think the real question is, if withholding love keeps us safe, then why do we feel so lonely when we do it, right? If December teaches us anything, with all its performative warmth, it's that connection doesn't come from matching someone's energy or waiting to see if they'll go first. It comes from presence, from honesty, and from emotional generosity, right? Not reckless vulnerability, but intentional openness. Maybe withholding love feels safer, but offering it, even in small and steady ways, is what actually builds something worth having. And what I have found myself, and what I know other people have, because I've heard it from my friends, is that a lot of people in our day and age don't pursue things intentionally. I constantly hear, you know, when a guy asks me out for a date and then they're asking, like, what are you looking for? So, oh, I'm just going with the flow. I don't really know. Like, you know, whatever happens, happens. To me, that's just like, okay, so no commitment. You could have just said that. You know what I mean? Like, you need to be intentional with pursuing someone. If you even want to pursue them, there needs to be intentionality behind that. Now, whether that is intentionality in, I don't want anything serious and I'm just looking for this, perfectly fine. Or it's intentionality in the sense of, I am looking for something serious and I want this. You need to be open, you need to be communicative, and you need to be intentional. Like, these, you know, dating just to date or just doing this just to do it, I personally have never understood that. And it goes even beyond dating, right? Like, working a job or pursuing a field of study or, you know, making friends or going places. Like, so many people just do things just to do them. And I don't get it, because I ultimately think that everything that you do in your life should have some intentional purpose behind it. even if that intentional purpose is I'm doing this because I want to have fun, or I'm doing this because I want to turn my brain off for a little bit, or I'm doing this because I just need to calm down and relax. Like, that can be your intention, but there needs to be intention behind it. No one just does something just to do it. And anyone who says that is just lying to themselves, right? And I think the thing that no one tells you about almost loves is that they're actually often more romantic than real relationships. And let me tell you why. It's because they never get a chance to disappoint you. You fill in the blanks. You write the missing chapters. You insert the best possible version of that person into the gaps where the real version never stood long enough. And that's why almost loves feel kind of supernatural, mythic, if you will. Like they live in some dreamy in-between world where nothing can touch them. But myth isn't love, it's longing, right? And longing, it does have a long shelf life, but it will end eventually. And I also want to touch on the fact that, you know, I don't know if this is like translates to men as well, but I know that the girlies definitely can identify with what I'm saying, is that December brings back old flings from the dead. I don't know what it is, but they're rising out of their graves and just sprinting. Like, you'll get that text, hey, stranger, I've been thinking about you. Or like my personal favorite is like, oh, I miss you. Well, of course you miss me. Like, please. But the seasonal loneliness is real. But so is seasonal clarity, right? So the truth is, almost loves come back because they feel unfinished too, right? And an unfinished thing itches. When something's not done, when something is not resolved, you itch to have that resolution. You itch to have it resolved. And a lot of the time, that results in someone coming back, unfortunately, until it is. And on that note, I think that sentiment draws perfectly into our next song, which is called Passive Aggressive by Charlotte Cardin. She's actually an artist from Montreal. So local artist, guys. She's amazing. I mean, she's massive now, but this song came out a couple of years ago, actually. And I think it perfectly encapsulates the sentiment that we were just talking about. So without further ado, we're going to play Passive Aggressive by Charlotte Cardin, and we'll be right back after this.
We're no longer together. 'Cause there's a man on my heart, and your name's crossed on my heart forever. You are your actions, relations, and I don't have the patience or temper. Hallelujah, baby. Hallelujah, baby. We're no longer
together.
All right, guys, that was Passive Aggressive by Charlotte Cardin. Amazing song, perfectly speaks to the sentiment that we were talking about. But now that we're back, I want to dive into a little bit of the psychology behind these almost loves, or just an almost anything in life, really. According to attachment psychologists, almost loves thrive on three different things, okay? So the first one is ambiguity. This kind of sense of the unknown and, you know, what comes next. The second one is this idealization, which is something that we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, in how these things exist in a very liminal space, right? Nothing of it exists in reality. And so you're idealizing this person that doesn't exist. You're putting them on a pedestal. And then the third one is the timing gaps, right? So ambiguity lets the relationship exist without responsibility. I think that's the most important thing. Idealization lets you ignore the flaws, so all the red flags that we start to paint green. And then the timing gaps create the illusion that, oh, if only, you know, we remove the responsibility from ourselves. We remove the responsibility from the person that we're seeing, and then we place it on the time and the place. And I believe 100% that that is where that saying, like, oh, perfect person, just the wrong time and place. I think if it is the perfect person, there will never be a wrong time or a wrong place, right? And I think that that saying or that ideal that we hold sometimes is 1,000% a result of us not wanting to take responsibility for either our actions or not wanting to, you know, place responsibility on the person that we're seeing. This if only, and I'm saying that with like heavy quotation marks, is a fantasy genre. It's not a relationship. With that being said, there were a few anonymous listener stories that kind of sent in their interactions with different almost loves. And so I want to read these to you guys, and we're going to spend a couple of minutes going through them. Because I think they're interesting. So the first one says, someone met a guy in the bookstore, right? They talked for 2 hours, exchanged numbers, and then they never text each other again. But both people, they think that they think about it every Christmas. I think that's beautiful. I think that sounds like a Hallmark story. I think, again, what is happening with that, because the reality of it is you didn't know this person long enough to develop any kind of a connection to them. So I think really what's happening here, and maybe potentially like what you guys are missing about each other, and that is also in heavy quotations, is just how romantic that setting was. You know, like imagine you're going out, you're enjoying your day, and in a very like, you know, an old bookstore with snow outside, you meet like a beautiful person and you just talk for 2 hours and you feel like you form this connection through this one conversation. And then you never see them and suddenly you feel like you missed out on something. But the reality of it is that you might have actually gone out on a date or two with them and then decided that you hated this person. So, you know, I think really the longing that you're having for each other is not necessarily love. It's just the fact that you're longing because you didn't get to know that person in maybe the way that you wanted to. The second one is a girl who fell for her best friend's cousin during a family reunion, only to realize that he lived across the world. I think this one's interesting. I'm trying to think of how to comment to this one, because I think in some cases that's fine. I think if you're a person that is like comfortable with long distance, that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think if he lives halfway across the world and you didn't lock something down, I would just let it go. You know, if you're not going to lock it down, let it be. And I do think that long distance can work a lot of the time, but I think it has a very low percentage of actually working when you haven't known this person for any amount of time before the long distance begins, right? It's different if you met someone and, you know, you'd been dating for like a year or so, or even like 6 months, and then they say, oh, I have to leave for like a year, but I'm coming back. That's a different story. But for someone to just fully live halfway across the world and have no intention of coming back to see you ever again, That just sounds kind of like a waste of time to me, if I'm being completely honest. Third story, two coworkers who had insane chemistry but terrible timing, now they only like each other's Instagram posts every December. Don't date people you work with. I'm going to say that. Don't date people you work with. Even if you feel like it's the love of your life, find a new job or wait till someone gets fired. Do not date the people that you work with, for the love of God. It becomes the most complicated thing ever. There's a reason that people say not to do it. And I know there's some of you out there that are going to be thinking, oh no, but you know, this situation is different. Like, it's okay for me to date this person. You're going to date that person. Something inevitably is going to happen. Either it's going to be worst case scenario and you're going to break up, and then you're going to have to kind of exist with each other in that space that you work in, and it's going to be so uncomfortable. Or maybe you're just going to have a really bad fight, but then you got to sit across from each other at work all day long. Or even worse, you have to work on a team together at work. Like, there's so many different variables. Just don't bother. It's not worth it. And I get it. There's definitely been people that I've worked with, you know, in the past that I've had a crush on. Because, like, work crushes are real. They exist. But do not pursue it. Just let it be, you know, a little, like, piece of folklore in your mind. Do not pursue it. It's the worst idea. Anyways, I digress, because I could go on about that topic for a very long time. But I think what these, you know, different situations show us is that almost loves are very universal, right? And that's why we're here, and that's why we're talking about it, because it's not a singular issue. It happens to a lot of people in a lot of different ways all across the world. And with that being said, we're going to jump into another song now. This is Frozen by Sabrina Claudio. Beautiful song, very soft voice. I love it. If you guys don't know her, check out her music. She's amazing. And then right after that, we're going to dive into some ads. So without further ado, this is Frozen by Sabrina Claudio.
If we could live in this moment and just hold it, keep my head on your chest, I'd never leave this bed. The flowers will be blooming, the leaves will be turning, and snow be falling, while we're making love in the sun will be shining, the flowers still are blooming, the leaves will turn again, but time will be frozen for us. Thank you. when leaves will turn again, but time will be frozen for
au 30 novembre. Vivez les RIDM, les rencontres internationales du documentaire de Montréal. Des films audacieux qui réinventent le documentaire et renouvellent notre regard sur le monde. Au programme, projections, concerts, discussions avec les cinéastes et soirées festives qui prolongent l'expérience. Les RIDM, du 20 au 30 novembre à Montréal. Infos et billets sur ridm.ca.
For the best new music from around the globe, with a respectful nod to the musical pioneers of the past, and a whole lot more, join me, Danny Payne, on The Pressure Drop, every Monday at 5 on CJLO 1690 AM or CJLO.com.
Hi, it's Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
All right, guys, we're back and we're almost at the bottom of our hour, actually. But before we wrap it up, I want to share something with you that I had to learn the hard way, okay? And it's about Almost Loves, and it's how you are allowed to keep Almost Loves in your heart without keeping them in your life. And I think this is a sentiment that more people need to kind of grasp in their lives. And it was something that I'm still learning how to grasp, but something that took me a very long time to even realize, that you can have someone that you almost loved or that you really liked and maybe saw a future with, and that will end and time will pass, and it's okay for you to still think about them sometimes. It's okay for them to occupy a little portion of your heart. What is not okay is for them to take up your entire life, right? And it's really hard to kind of separate the two. It's hard to kind of compartmentalize and be like, I really like this person and I like how they made me feel, but also like they're not my life realistically and I need to move forward now. But I think that once people learn how to compartmentalize this kind of sentiment, it becomes really peaceful and it also becomes a lot easier to deal with. Because there's no shame in remembering people fondly, right? And there's no guilt in missing a moment that never grew into a lifetime. Not all connections are meant to be rooted, right? Some are just meant to drift through us like snow. Temporary, beautiful, melting by the morning. So you can close the drawer without actually throwing it out. And that's what healing is, right? Not erasure. Because I think a lot of the time we think that when something ends, we just need to get rid of everything and we need to erase this person from our lives. And that's the only way that we'll be able to move on. And that's healing. That's healthy. It's actually not very healthy. I mean, you know, all the more power to you if in the moment that is actually what you need. If you just need to kind of have some space for this person, that's totally fine. I don't think erasing someone from your life is actually dealing with the issue. I think it's just shoving it in the back of your closet and saying, oh, I'll get to that later, then you never do. So we can deal with something. We can remember someone. We can remember the fond parts about someone or about a relationship that we had, whether that be romantic or platonic or familial, without completely erasing it. Because almost loves, they really do serve a purpose. You know, we've been talking a lot this episode about like the negative repercussions of an almost love and why you shouldn't engage in these. But there's really positive associations with them as well that I do want to mention before we wrap up today. And I think an almost love shows us what we're actually capable of feeling, right? They remind us that we're actually alive and that we can feel something. I wrote this article actually like probably about a year or two ago now, And the sentiment of the article was essentially, okay, we're going to backtrack here a little bit because I think it's important. I don't know if anyone's ever seen Eternal Sunshine, the movie with Jim Carrey, or if you've heard or seen the music video or the album that Ariana Grande released a few years ago called Eternal Sunshine. But anyways, the whole sentiment to this is that someone is really hurting from a breakup, and rather than dealing with their like images or the feelings that that relationship produced, they went and they tried to get all of these memories permanently erased from their brains so that they didn't have to think about or deal with it anymore. And I wrote an article kind of in response to this idea, and it really spoke about how, you know, I would rather be in pain and know that I was capable of loving someone than to not bother loving someone at all and, like, quote unquote, not be in pain, right? Even though you are kind of in pain when you're lonely and, you know, you near the end of your life and you realize you've never fully immersed yourself in loving anyone, that's going to be probably the worst pain that you could ever feel. So personally, I would rather, you know, love someone so much that when it, you know, it ends, it breaks me and it hurts me so badly so that I can build up, I can bring the pieces back, I can build myself back up, and I can move on. But I would rather do that, because when you hurt, when you love, when you experience all these emotions, you actually, you know, it reminds you that you're a human being and that you're alive, because all these emotions are super normal and common. And so much of us, we spend our entire lives trying to avoid this feeling, you know, trying to avoid being vulnerable, trying to avoid being in pain and all these other things. But it's just, it's not plausible, and it's not a very enjoyable life either, right? But almost loves also help us recognize what we truly want, right? Sometimes you need to date someone that shows you everything you don't want so that you can actually understand what you do. Like one of my first relationships, horrible relationship. I don't think there was a single positive thing that I could take from it, aside from the fact that that relationship taught me how to love myself, and it showed me every single thing that I did not want in a partner, so that moving forward, I was able to look for the things that I actually did want. And I think we need to look at more things just in life through that positive lens, right? Sometimes things are not going to give us everything that we were expecting or wanting from the situation, but there is still something that can be taken away. And an almost love also prepares us for the real thing, right? By learning what you don't want, you're able to prepare for what you do. Almost loves are kind of like emotional training grounds in a way, right? Not failures. And honestly, some people are meant to be memories and not partners. So as we're hitting the last 6 minutes of our hour, guys, we're going to gently close the last drawer. And I want to thank you guys for sitting with me in this dream-like kind of room of quiet almost. And if you're thinking about someone right now, someone that you nearly loved, I think I want to just leave you guys with this, right? You're not crazy. You're not stuck. You're not weak. You're human. And it's okay to hold space for people who pass through your life softly. But don't confuse their softness with your destiny, right? And don't reopen doors that were only just meant to be windows, okay? Some almost loves are simply just emotional postcards from a different you, and you can let them stay there, beautiful, unfinished, and enough. So I want to thank you guys for spending this last hour with me on the archive of Almost Love. I'm Jade, and this has been Love Actually Needs Work. This is our second last episode of November, so we're almost in the December season, guys. And I want to say that if this episode has kind of touched something in you, like a memory, a feeling, a person, be gentle with yourself, okay? And I will see you guys next Sunday at 3 p.m. If you want to stay up to date with all the different episodes that we have coming up, you can feel free to follow us at Love Actually Needs Work. And to wrap up the episode, I'm going to leave you guys with a song that kind of talks about how a person can take heartbreak and turn it into this just like beautiful thing for themselves. And it's by an artist who I just found out today is from Montreal, but she's also a Concordia grad. She graduated in 2020. I've been listening to her stuff since like 2021. Had no idea she went to our school, but anyways, she's a fantastic singer, absolute powerhouse, and we're going to finish off the hour with her song. So without further ado, this is Congratulations by Alicia Creddy.
How could you do all this just to make me feel like nothing? You're something indescribable. I have never felt like less than human, 'cause someone just had to risk it all. And I'm not like them other girls.
Damn.
I'm tough, but it still hurts.
Goddamn.
And I couldn't take to lose ya. The little good to ya, it came through. Like your daddy, always drowning in his cup. Take a hit, get your fix on me, yeah. What was the point in doing all this to me? Did you mean to? Or were ya just misguided? And I'm not like the other girls.
Damn.
I'm soft, so it still hurts.
Goddamn.
And I knew I had to lose ya. It wasn't enough.
Hi, this is Remy from